of Arts, home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and that is a wonderful thing here in beautiful Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Our phone number is 321-454-4263. If you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you out to be a part of what God is doing. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. Easter is just a little over a week away. Just to let you know, next Friday will be one of our annual rebroadcasts where it's something that I broadcast every Good Friday. So just to let you know that that is coming up in the days ahead. I hope that you have made plans to be in the house of God and worship your risen Savior. And as the old hymn goes, he's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. So praise the Lord for all that Jesus has done. If you do not have a church home, this is my personal invitation to you. On Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we will have a different schedule. So this Sunday morning, Palm Sunday, we'll have Sunday school 9:30 and worship at 10:30. On Easter Sunday, we will not be having Sunday school. We're going to be having a pancake breakfast that happens at about 9:45, and then we will be moving into our worship service at 10:30. We hope that you can join us as we celebrate Jesus' triumph over death, hell, and the grave, and we are very thankful for all that he's done for us. Hopefully we'll see you in the next couple of weeks. Today we're going to return to Mark chapter 9. And I'll just read an abbreviated portion today, beginning at verse number 25. It says, "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" I'd like to start off today talking to you, beginning at verse number 25, that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. He didn't trivialize the matter. He rebuked him. And I believe too many times here in our modern era, we've got people who are playing spiritual games with things that they shouldn't be playing games with. There are things in people's lives that we don't want have anything to do with. I was in a conversation with someone, and they were recounting to me a conversation about people who entertain themselves in what that other group deemed very dark entertainment, and then they found themselves watching something and said, "That's even too dark for us." And I'm telling you, this is not the time to be playing spiritual games. With everything that we see going on the global stage and comparing that with what the Bible has prophesied about the end times, please understand, I'm not setting a timeline, but if it's not the end of times, it's in the preparations, the warm-up stage. I don't think this is the time to be wandering from the faith. I don't think this is time to be toying with the enemy. I think this is a time to say, God, I want to be as much like you. I want to be as close to you as I possibly can. And I need you speaking into my life, not just words of encouragement for me, but words of rebuke to the enemy. And Jesus went on from the rebuke, and he didn't negotiate with the demon. He commanded the demon that the demon would make his immediate exit and that he would enter this young man's life no more. If you remember, there is a story that Jesus told about a person that had a demonic spirit that had inhabited him. It was cast out, and the demonic spirit went roaming around the environment and could not find any place of rest, and so he returned back to where he had been expelled, and he found it clean, he found it restored, he found it unoccupied, and so he moved back in and brought some of his cohort with him. He brought seven others that were worse than him. So the gospel is not just about getting demonic activity out of our life. It is about Jesus coming into our heart, occupying as much of the space as we will grant him to occupy, so that there is no availability, you know, no vacancy for the demonic spirit to listen. They are allergic to the presence of Jesus. They don't stick around when the presence of Jesus is there. And so if you want 2026 to be a breakout year for you, I encourage a great deal of worship, a great deal of prayer, a great deal of study, and a great deal of evangelism. Those are four wonderful things that you could be doing. Well, Jesus commands this unclean spirit after the rebuke, come out of him and enter no more. There was no debate. There was no argument. There was no delay. It says, then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him. So the spirit tried to drown out Jesus' voice with his shrieks. He tried to intimidate the situation because of the convulsions that were going on. And that word, I want to remind you, I shared this earlier, that word convulsed means to tear, to mangle, to render in pieces, and there's the adjective greatly. This was a violent, violent situation. That means that demonic spirit was thoroughly entrenched in this young man's life. And so as he was leaving, there was a physical ramification, but there was also a spiritual reality. I do want to put this word out there to parents, and that is, make sure that you train up your child in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Because I loved my kids, I love my grandkids, I wanted to protect them from any undue access points that the enemy might use to gain entrance into their life. I wanted to, my goal was that they would be so in love with Jesus that they would never remember a day that he wasn't their Lord and Savior. I'm still believing that for my grandkids. I don't have that experience. My kids would tell you they probably don't have that experience either. But we keep setting that stage for the next generation. And so I would encourage you to pray, to ask God for wisdom, because our society is trying to tell us that what we need to do is we need to be open to all of the things that society wants to put out there, and that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we are supposed to guard our hearts and minds. And especially, we're supposed to guard our children. And because I love them, I'm going to make sure that I do everything in my power, my ability, my authority to deny access to their life that the enemy might exploit. So this, where Jesus was not looking to create a spectacle, this demonic spirit in his leaving at Jesus' command and at Jesus' rebuke puts on quite a violent demonstration. Now, the goal was not just to get the demon to leave. The goal was so this young man would live. The departure, the conflict, the point of engagement was this young man's life. And it looked to those around that when this demon had left this boy's life, that he was dead. It says, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But I want to remind you that Jesus doesn't just impart life, he is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In another place, it says that he is the resurrection and the life. Unclean demonic spirits are there to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so now we face this situation. The demon is gone. What's going to happen now that the demon is gone? Everybody looks around. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are looking around. He's dead. He is dead. Except for Jesus does something. And Jesus reaches down and he takes him by the hand and he lifts him up and he arose. The great thing about resurrection season is that not only was Jesus raised from the dead, but the Word of God teaches that for all of the godly dead, all of those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that we have a resurrection that is coming as well. And that is not something to be trivialized. There are many people who read the Bible and the first thing they want to do is to take out all of the miracles. I want you to know that the miracles are not just historical events, they're faith-building events, and it means that we have a hope and a future, and that Our mortal bodies are one day going to be raised up immortal bodies, and our corruptible bodies are going to be raised up incorruptible, that Jesus is going to call us to be with him forever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is what the future looks like for believers. So Jesus reaches down and he grabs him by the hand and he lifts him up and he arose. Society would tell you that it's all about you reaching down and picking yourselves up by your bootstraps. And I've seen people with some phenomenal athletic ability that can do extraordinary things, but please understand that in the spiritual realm, it is not a self-help situation. I mean, there are some things that we can do that make our lives remarkably better and remarkably more fruitful, but it's all because of Jesus. And the tenderness that Jesus shows to this young man is the same sort of tenderness that he expresses towards us. You know, there's an old saying, I asked God how much you loved me, and he said this much, and he stretched out his arms, and he died on a cross. Jesus wants to position us to succeed. One of the things that I love is that Jesus always leads his people in triumphal procession. Jesus is glorified here in Mark chapter 9. He will be glorified in any situation that we come and bring to him and say, Lord, would you move with compassion and help us? And there's what, let me see what I wrote down here. I talked about this, that there is compassion, there is belief, there is faith, there's asking, and there's authority. And that leads to results. Now, let's move on to verse number 28 and 29. Verse number 28, and when he had come into the house, Jesus, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Okay. He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. I think it is a very good thing to do to ask God, God, is there something that we need to be doing differently? Is there something we need to be doing better? I think it is a great thing when the church looks at a situation and says, what could we, or how come we weren't as effective in that situation as we could have been? I think that is healthy. I think it is fruitful. And I think it sets us up for better things to come in the days ahead. So why were we unsuccessful? One of the things that I have observed is that in modern times, we're all, a lot of people are looking for someone to blame other than themselves. So it could, they'll point the finger at anybody and everybody, except for they will not point the finger at themselves. And Jesus doesn't condemn them. So if you're ever praying for a miracle and you don't get the answer that you wanted, it's not a condemnation that Jesus has for you, but it a good question to ask from time to time. Was there something we should have been done differently? And with that in mind, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 17. And let me take you to verse number 19, Matthew 17, 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And remember, I told you in Mark chapter 9, there was a statement that was phrased in a positive context to the dad, and that was, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief," or "because of your little faith. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Okay, and so the faith of the disciples is not fully matured at this point in time. There's going to be a radical transformation in the faith of the disciples after the resurrection and after the day of Pentecost. They are no longer going to be operating in fear. They are going to be operating in faith. They are going to see signs and wonders that take place. And when you've seen someone brutally punished and brutally crucified, and then you see them glorified and resurrected, and then you watch them ascend to the Father right before your very eyes, and then you see what happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, when you see those sorts of things, it changes your faith. And so it wasn't just the Father that had belief but didn't have unbelief, but also had unbelief. It was also the disciples. They believed, but there was also a level of unbelief as well. And then he says this: if you have faith as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. I skipped over several of the words there just to get to the point. And that is this: faith makes the impossible possible. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I don't believe it is just faith alone that makes that happen. I think it is the brethren dwelling together in unity. I believe it is them speaking the same thing. I believe it is coming together and agreeing that God is going to do something, and nothing will be impossible because of the one that we have faith in. It is not our faith itself. It is faith in the one who is able to bring the resolution. God is the one who is the doer of miracles. So there are areas in your life that you've probably learned that God is omnipotent in that realm. And I pray in 2026 that every realm of your life will come to that place where you have more and more faith that God can do the impossible. With the last few minutes here, I want to focus on verse number 21 of Matthew chapter 17. It says, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So there may be something that is missing. So let me tell you, next Wednesday night, which will be April the 1st, I believe, we're not going to be having our typical Bible study. We're going to be having a night of worship a night of prayer. There's going to be a night of singing. We're going to be working on all of those things, or we're going to be celebrating all of those things leading up to Easter Sunday. We hope you'll join us. That'll be Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Prayer and fasting is something that Jesus says is necessary because there are certain spiritual problems that do not get resolved without those elements in our life. Okay, so fasting, from what I have studied, shows some incredible health benefits. You know, while our flesh is crying out, "You're starving me, you're starving me." It's not just the absence of food, but it is actually the focus on feasting in our spirit. And when a believer in Jesus Christ is operating, it says, "I want to talk to Jesus, and I want my body, my spirit, and my very life. I want it sustained on the words that proceed from the mouth of God for this duration of time." Whatever that duration of time may come, what's going to happen is you're going to draw closer to Jesus in that process. You're going to experience growth in your life, and you're going to find out that what the enemy said you can't afford to do, that you're going to discover, "I can't afford not to do that." Let me ask you as I close out today, are there problems in your life that haven't been resolved yet in spite of everything that you've done? Let me ask you to evaluate three things. One is, are you employing the faith that God has given to you? Second, are you in direct communication with God? How's your prayer life? Don't just talk to God to get a result. Talk to God because he's the lover of your soul. And the third thing is, would you set aside some time where you would focus on your spirit more than you focus on your food? And Isaiah describes a situation. There may be a time where you prepare the food, or you purchase the food and you give the food away to someone who doesn't have it. Those three things: faith, prayer, and fasting. And when we employ those things, I believe we will see, like Jesus said, nothing will be impossible for us. God bless you. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.